listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Bounce around the NFL as we get you set for the weekend. Jordan DeJohnny joins us, CBS Sports, to talk NFL. How are you, Jordan? Oh, still waiting on Jordan. So we'll get him back. We'll get him on. We'll get him. Oh, hi. How are you, Jordan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thank you for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. All right, last night, a big win for the Minnesota Vikings. What was your takeaway? This is a team that's been in close games a lot. They finally get one where they don't blow the lead. They stand pat. But in the end, I mean, what was the takeaway from the Minnesota side of things?
Well, my takeaway was that I had to wake up early this morning to rewatch the game because I had virtually turned it off in the second half. I thought it was over. But, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were able to engineer this incredible comeback. Now, from the Steelers side of things, you have to give them credit for how they were able to turn it around. But at the same time, you have to wonder, why do they start games so slow? And what is up with the offensive play calling? But as for the Minnesota Vikings, which was your original question, they're addicted to playing in these one-score close games. I think coming into this matchup, 9 of their games have been decided on the final play. They almost made it 10 last night. So this Vikings team, they can't play with a lead. That's very scary when it comes to trying to identify legitimate contenders. Shout-out to Dalvin Cook for the performance he was able to have, and Justin Jefferson's a star as well. But you have to have questions about this defense in terms of their overall consistency, because when you're up, what was it, 29-0, that game should be put away. It shouldn't come down to a potential game-winning try.
All right, let's go to some games coming up this weekend, and one of the ones we're watching in the NFC East is Washington, because they've won 4 in a row, but they're playing a Cowboys team. And you would think, if you're Washington, all right, I get there is a Taylor Heinicke, no one believes in me angle, but at what point do people start going, maybe they're playing good? What is your analysis of where Washington is?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been watching this team pretty closely over the past couple weeks. In my CBS Sports Picks column this week, I chose Cowboys to cover the spread. But as soon as Mike McCarthy comes out yesterday and says he feels confident in a win, I'm ready to switch my pick. So this Washington team, they haven't been scoring many points. They've been continuing to rack up W's, but they're not scoring points. There's been a true turning of over a new leaf with this defense, even though they're missing important guys like Montez Sweat and Chase Young. I don't know what it is, but all three levels are playing so much better, and it's the reason they've been able to stay in the win column. Taylor Heinicke, he deserves a ton of credit. I mean, he's been consistent with the ball. He only has one interception over the past 4 weeks, I believe. The run game is being incredible. The offensive line is plowing lanes ahead for those runners, also protecting the passer very well. This Washington team, you can't mess around with them. And the Dallas Cowboys have been known to kind of mess around with teams. So expect this to be a very close affair.
The New England Patriots, with their win against Buffalo, they ran the ball 46 times. Mac Jones only had to throw it 3. Get it, the weather conditions. But down the road, especially getting closer into the playoffs and even in the playoffs, are they going to need Mac Jones to win them a game on his own, and is he going to be able to do that?
Yes, absolutely, and I'm glad you brought this up because I don't think we truly learned anything from that Monday night game with the Patriots and the Bills. I thought this was finally going to be an opportunity where Mac Jones was going to have to step up and try to score points in a hurry, which he has to use his arm for. When he has to really shoulder the load and show that he's a franchise quarterback by himself by scoring touchdowns, moving the ball efficiently downfield. Obviously, because of the football weather gods, we did not get that. But it's going to make for an interesting rematch in a couple of weeks when we get to see Mac Jones potentially have to step up and shoulder the load, like I said. That's kind of the one thing I'm waiting to see when it comes to identifying and looking at the Patriots and trying to see where their ceiling might be. I want to see if Mac Jones can kind of put up points on the scoreboard when he doesn't have the backing of a great, consistent defense, when the run game is maybe getting bottled up in the first half. That's the one thing I'm waiting on to see with Mac Jones. That's why it's hard to have the Patriots as a legitimate Super Bowl contender in my mind, although they do hold the number one seed in the AFC currently.
Let's stay in that division, Miami, with three wild card teams now. They've won 5 in a row. How have they won 5 in a row, and are they in a position to get one of those wild cards, or are they just playing a little bit above right now where they really are?
Yeah, I think Tua Tagovailoa has been very consistent with the ball. He's not trying to make any magic happen. He's been consistent in getting the ball into the hands of his playmakers. On top of that, I mean, this defense has really turned over a new page. They're playing incredibly well. I think they really like their quarterback. They got faith in each other as teammates. This Dolphins team is playing really, really well. And right now, they're sitting at, I think, the 13th seed, technically. They're 6-7. They're technically behind teams like the Broncos, Browns, Steelers. But I would anticipate that changes. I think this team is playing really, really good football. Now, I can't talk about them being a legitimate contender, but in my mind, they are a contender for a wild card spot.
Tennessee Titans at 8-4, they get back to work. They're coming off a bye week, but they're also coming off back-to-back losses, combined 9 turnovers and a loss to Houston and New England. Derrick Henry has been out. They've tried to do the running back by committee to try to match the output. But when you don't have a runner like Henry, how has that affected the way this Titans team operates?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, they had 2 100-yard rushers against the Patriots the last time out. So it shows that they're not ready to abandon the run just yet. They think they can still find success just with how the offensive line operates. And you can't necessarily disagree. I mean, you're going to have to pass the ball and score points in bunches that way. But they have A.J. Brown out. They have Julio Jones out. Their tight ends have been banged up as well. Ryan Tannehill doesn't have a lot of help. So I think this Sunday is going to be a really interesting game to watch because on paper, it looks like a legitimate get-right spot for this Titans team because the Jaguars have just been playing so terribly. But at the same time, this is a team dealing with a lot of injuries, a team that lost to the New York Jets earlier this year, a team that lost to the Houston Texans a couple of weeks ago as well. A lot of people think that the Titans are probably a top-10 team. They obviously are holding off judgment because of the lack of players and lack of depth they have on roster right now due to injury. But I think, much like we saw with the Buccaneers over the past couple of weeks, we're going to see them start to get more talent back to the active roster, and that's when we're going to be able to gauge what this team is capable of.
Jordan DeJohnny joins us, CBS Sports, talking NFL. Arizona Cardinals at 10-2, the best record in the league, 2 games ahead of where the LA Rams are. Those teams will meet on Monday night. Is there really a 2-game separation? How different is Arizona from the teams that are in their division?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you asked me a couple of weeks ago, I would say I would still be holding out hope that the Rams could be better than the Cardinals and have more of a legitimate shot to go all the way in terms of winning a Super Bowl. But, you know, with Matthew Stafford, we saw those reports come out a couple of weeks ago about the myriad of injuries he's dealing with, shoulder, back, knee, elbow, whatever it was. And, you know, he came out against the Packers, and he certainly did not look like himself. Now, give credit to him. He was able to bounce back against Jacksonville. But then again, they're the Jacksonville Jaguars for a reason. So I'm very nervous about this Rams team in terms of their potential moving forward, because if Matthew Stafford's health is limited, that's going to limit your ceiling as a franchise when it comes to the 2021 campaign. Now, I think the Seahawks are obviously out of it. But, I mean, this Cardinals team, I think they're built right. I think that they're a team that is more talented than really any other team in the NFL. But it's interesting because I don't think I can pick them as my Super Bowl pick, because I think this will be the first season where Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray make it to the playoffs together. This will be their first postseason experience, and you'd rather put your faith in someone like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers when it comes to that conference. But in my mind, this is the Cardinals' division. They're going to win it. They're one of the best teams in the NFL.
All right, and they're kind of the same question with the AFC West, because everybody in that division is playing for a playoff spot, and even some playing for a division. Kansas City has turned things around now with a 5-game win streak. Maybe not the Kansas City Chiefs of old, but what are they doing right now?
They're playing defense. That's the biggest thing. You know, the offense hasn't been that great, but I think we all understand they have the potential to be one of the most explosive attacks in the league. I mean, they're allowing an average of 11.2 points per game over their past 5 contests. This Chiefs defense went from being one of the worst in the NFL to playing average to now playing, dare I say, good. And that's really going to affect this team in terms of what they can be capable of in hoisting the Lombardi Trophy once again. Yeah, you look on paper, this division looks really tight. You got 2 teams at 6-6, the Chargers at 7-5, and then, of course, Kansas City at 8-4. In my mind, the Chiefs have finally turned over a new page. I really do think that this team is legitimate. They're going to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
AFC North, every single one of those teams has issues. Some have serious issues. Who is the favorite in your mind to win this division?
That's a great question. I have no idea at this point. You know, I'd like to say the Baltimore Ravens, but after losing Marlon Humphrey, Lamar Jackson has been playing really poor ball over the past couple of contests. There's a reason they're underdogs heading into Cleveland, who is technically fourth in that division right now. It's just absolutely jumbled. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of the Cincinnati Bengals week in, week out. You know, you have to try to pick your spots when you're going to fade them and when you're going to ride them when you're a betting man. I still don't have faith in the Cleveland Browns in terms of them being a contender. I don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers either. So I think process of elimination, I'm going to have to roll with the Ravens. But I have serious questions about them. I'm not as high on this franchise in terms of their chances of winning a Super Bowl than I was earlier in the season.
Yeah, well said. I think this division has to produce a winner, and it's just too jumbled and too messy right now. Jordan, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the weekend.
Anytime, guys. Thank you so much.
You got it. Jordan Dejani again, CBS Sports on the NFL. He's right about the AFC North. I mean, yes, if the Steelers had won last night, it would have really tightened up the feel of this, especially with that game in hand against the Ravens, who they'll meet again late this season. But you honestly, truly do not know what you're getting right now. Baltimore's playing too sloppy. There's some key injuries on that team. The Bengals are too erratic. They can beat you by 31, and they can lose to the next team on their schedule that they should easily beat. The Steelers are too inconsistent. In the trenches, they're getting beat, and Roethlisberger's trying to bail them out late, but sometimes can't. The Cleveland Browns have just gone back and forth too many times with too many problems as well. Again, somebody's got to win this division, but it's not playing at a higher level that I get, that I feel when I look at some of the teams like in the AFC West, where Kansas City is playing good football. The Chargers have played good football. The Raiders, even though they're 6-6, have some really quality wins. It's a different feel than other divisions. I think the AFC North winner isn't going to be a real threat come postseason, at least the way it is right now here in early December. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.